Turning in the Word of God this morning to Genesis chapter 24, the book of Genesis and the chapter 24. It's a very lengthy portion of God's Word, but we're going to just read from the verse 61 this morning, verse 61 of Genesis 24. I say it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here, and despite a slight mishap last night, in which I sort of had a slight injury to my foot, and so it's quite uncomfortable standing. We were still able to get here, and we trust that we might know the Lord's blessing as we meet together. But the verse 61 of Genesis 24 says, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, where he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Amen. We know that the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word. And amen. Could I direct your attention this morning to the words found in verse 63. Genesis 24, verse 63. It simply says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide." And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. There is no doubt that in the inspired record of Scripture, there are tremendous spiritual lessons to be gleaned. One such interesting picture from which we can find many lessons is that of the life of Isaac. This statement, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field," not only describes an action in the life of Isaac, but through that action, it brings us to consider a number of spiritual lessons and spiritual truths concerning the life of the child of God. Indeed, the action and the activity of Isaac in going out into the field to meditate at eventide is suggestive of an action that the Christian, the believer, the one whose faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ should be in. And this being so, this morning, in the time that remains, we want to look at this man who meditated in the field, seeking to glean these spiritual lessons for our own benefit. Now, there are a number of simple things we want to draw to your attention. The first thing is this: the occupation in which he was engaged. The occupation in which he was engaged. In verse 63, it says, "Isaac went out to meditate." There is the occupation. There is the thing that he was doing. He was meditating. He was taking time to meditate. Now, there are many things in the life of Isaac that are worthy of note. When we think of the book of Genesis in the chapter 22 and the verse 7, we find that there he questioned his father regarding the worship of God. In those words of Genesis 22, and also in the verse 7, we read that he presented this particular question to his father. It says, "My father," he says, "behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" So here was a man, and he was the son of Abraham, and they were heading off to worship, and he had a question about the worship of God. He says, "Behold the fire, behold the wood, but where is the burnt offering?" And you know, it is good when our children ask us about the things of God. It is good when they ask us about the worship of the Lord. And you know, I always love to see children in a congregation. In our own church in Dungannon, I have been told now that we probably have one of the youngest congregations. The age profile is dropping, and you can hear the sounds of babies every morning. And that is good, because that is where families ought to be. They ought to be in the house of God. They ought to be coming to the house of the Lord. And what if the wee child does move a little bit? And what if the baby does make a little noise? Well, it's good that they're in the house of God, and I rejoice in that. But you know, it is even better when our children ask us questions. And here was Isaac, and he was asking the question of his father about the sacrifice. Where is the burnt offering? And Abraham was able to come back, and he said to him in the verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. He says to Isaac, look, you're looking for a burnt offering, but that burnt offering, God is the one who provides that. Of course, we know, do we not, that the provision of God in sacrifice was made through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the needs of our heart as sinners, they're met and they're provided for in the provision of God in sending His Son into this world and dying for us. And the Lord Jesus Himself is the Lamb of God. It's very interesting that Abraham says the Lord shall provide Himself a lamb. And quite often people read that as that God is going to do it Himself. He's going to find a lamb for Himself that is suitable. But you can read that another way. You can read that the Lord will provide Himself a lamb. In other words, God Himself is the lamb. And we know from scriptures that the one who died at Calvary, the Redeemer who bore the name Jesus of Nazareth, He was none other than God the Son. He was God incarnate, the God-man. The Lamb of God was God Himself, manifested in human flesh. But you know, there was something else. He not only questioned his father regarding the worship of God, but he lived beside the well Lehiroi. If you look in chapter 24 and the verse 62, Genesis 24 and the verse 62, it says, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lehiroi, for he dwelt in the south country. Again in chapter 25 and the verse 11, it says that it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lehiroi. Now that well is a very interesting well. He didn't dwell there by any chance, but he dwelt there for a reason. Now, when you look at the life of Hagar and Ishmael, you will find that it was at that well that the Lord appeared unto Hagar. And it was there that those words of Scripture come forth where it speaks of the Lord seest me, thou God seest me. The Lord sees me. And what Isaac, by living there, was saying is that his life was lived with the eye of God upon him. Isn't that the way every Christian ought to live? Isn't that the way that you and I ought to live? We not only have an interest in the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, but we live in that place spiritually where the eye of God is upon us. That is where Isaac was dwelling. He was dwelling in the place where God saw him. He was dwelling in the place where the eye of the Lord was there watching over him. He was conscious of God's presence and God's perception of him. But then in chapter 26 in the verse 18, we find that he digged the wells that his father digged. He digged the wells that his father digged. Chapter 26, verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. You know, as we look back at the history of the church, as we look back at believers in generations gone by, there were times when they had great blessings. Times when they had revival and when the blessing of heaven was upon their souls. And blessed is that man and blessed is that woman who can find those same wells of water. who can find that same provision and refreshment that God provided to a generation past. And Isaac was such a man. My, there were these occupations. He was questioning about worship. He was living in the place where God could see him. He had dug again the wells of his father. He was prospering, and he knew the blessings of the generation of the past. But here we find in Genesis 24, verse 63, he was meditating at the field, in the field at eventide. What an occupation. He wasn't listening to a preacher. You know, it's good to hear a preacher. God sends men as his servants to preach the word and to open up the scriptures of truth. And it's a blessed thing, something which we ought not to neglect, something which we ought not to forget is a blessing and privilege from God. For there's many people and they never hear a preacher. They never hear somebody coming and declaring the work and word of God to them. But this man, despite it being a good thing to listen to a preacher, he wasn't listening to a preacher. He was meditating. He was contemplating. He was thinking deeply about spiritual things. And you know, there is a time when we can read the scriptures. There is a time when we can read through the Word of God, and it is good to read the scriptures through as a Christian every year. It is good to hear the preaching of the Word, but an occupation which is lacking so many times in this generation today is meditating upon God's Word, of considering the truths of God in relation to our own life. And this is what this man was doing at the eventide. He was meditating. He was thinking upon his life. He was thinking upon the goodness of God. He was thinking about the grace and mercy of the Lord. He was thinking of how what he knew of God applied to his life. He took time to think and to meditate. In Psalm 1 and the verse 2, we have those words which remind us of the blessed man. In his law, he meditates day and night. In his law, he meditates day and night. His delight, his delight is in the law of God. And he meditates upon God's law, God's word, day and night. That's just not reading. There are some people and they think if they read four chapters a day, that is good. And it is good to read like that, but that's not thinking about what you've read. I could read 20 chapters and get nothing out of it. I could read a whole book of the Bible and without stopping and thinking, I might not glean the good out of it. But here was a man and he took time to stop and to think and to consider his life in the light of God's dealings with him. You'll notice not only the occupation, but you'll notice the occasion for this engagement. Verse 63 tells us that it was at eventide. Now, I have no doubt that Isaac sought the Lord in the mornings. He was a spiritual man. He had followed in many of the ways that his father had taught him to go. And one of the things that his father taught him was that of getting up early for the work of God. Away in Genesis 22, verse 3, you find that it was early in the morning when Abraham prepared the ass to take Isaac to the place where they would worship God. It was early in the morning. Now, it's not my theme for this morning, but if you take time to consider the life of Abraham, you will find that there were three times it says that he got up early in the morning. He got up early in the morning to go to worship, to prepare for worship. And could I suggest this morning that worship is not just a matter of getting yourself neatly dressed and tidied up and coming to the house of God. It takes preparation. There are people and they say, well, I get nothing out of the preacher. I get nothing out of the minister. He does nothing for me. Well, those people generally are those that never prepare themselves for worship. Now, I know there are occasions when the preacher doesn't say very much. I know there are occasions when he might not have the best of days. But generally, the rule is this: if others are being blessed and you're not, it's because you're not making preparation. And Abraham, he got up early. He made sure the preparation was done before he ever got to the place of worship. So he got up early to do that. He got up early to put away the bondwoman. The time that his flesh had got in the way, he had to get up early in the morning and send Hagar away. And it pictures for us that we need to do something about the flesh, and we need to sacrifice, and we need to get up early to put away the flesh so that we can live that spiritual life. But he also got up early to look over the plain when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. Early in the morning, he saw the smoke of their destruction. Those that get up early in the morning before the Lord, they're the ones who so often have the great burden for souls, because they know what it is for a person to be lost and to be in a Christless eternity. And so, Abraham got up early, and Isaac, being a spiritual man, taking so many of his father's ways as an example, would have undoubtedly talked with the Lord early in the morning. He was a spiritual man. But Isaac had undoubtedly worked all day. He had much to do. His father was old and well stricken in years, and the running of his large household and the nomadic business, which was full of cattle and sheep, fell upon his shoulders. There were very many things to call him aside during the day. There was no time to pause and to reflect and to consider the things of God. But at eventide, when the day was almost gone and the night was approaching, when the hustle and bustle of the day was over, that was the time when he meditated. That was the time when he got himself into that solitary place, alone with God, and considered the things of the Lord and the things of his life. It was when he settled down. It was when he considered the dealings of the Lord with him. When it was the quiet of the day, when the hustle and bustle was over. You see, there are many of us, and we find an awful lot to do during the day. We're running here and we're running there. And of a night, we're running here and running there, and we have no time to sit down and to meditate. But there are times when the Christian must set themselves aside. There are times when we must take that time out to consider the things of God and to seriously contemplate and meditate upon God's Word and its application to our life. And this was what Isaac was doing. He was meditating. And you'll notice that he had to make effort to meditate, because in verse 63 it says he went out. He went out. It didn't come natural. He had to apply his heart and his mind and his will to do this. It wasn't something which was just sitting there ready to happen. He had to be determined to go out. He had to make every effort to go out and to meditate in the field. And you know, the hardest thing of all for a Christian is to get to that place where they're alone with God. To get to that place where they can get before the Lord and they can seek His face and they can meditate upon the Word of God and they can seek His will. That's the one place which the Christian finds it the hardest place on earth to get to. And yet every effort must be made, because there's great blessings when we get alone with God. You notice something else, and time has gone, but we're moving on as quickly as we can. You'll notice the location in his engagement. It was in the field. It was in the field. He had a blessed occupation. He meditated. He had a blessed occasion. It was in the eventide when things were quiet and when he could make that effort to get alone with God. But it was a blessed location. It was in the field. Could I suggest this morning that being in the field is a sweet location? My wife is always telling me, because I spend a lot of time in the study and a lot of time in the car traveling places and a lot of time in people's homes visiting and a lot of time in the hospital seeing people, that I should get out and about a lot more. You need some fresh air. That's her basic statement. You need fresh air. You need to get out and get some of that air in you. It'll do you good. And when she thinks that I'm not getting out enough, well, she takes the big stick to me and she tells me that I need to get out. But that is true. You do need fresh air. Because when you're inside and when you're locked in, the air can be stifling. And good fresh air in the countryside or at the seaside in the field is the best air you can have. It's a lot cleaner than the air in a city. But could I also say that getting outside into the field brings us closer to God? You think for a moment that you're sitting in a room. It has four walls. And you're sitting there. Well, what is there in bricks? And what is there in a plastered or painted wall? What is there to remind you of God? What is there when you're looking at a light switch? Or what is there when you're looking at a ceiling? To remind you of the Lord. But you get out into the field. And the field is not just a sweet location where there's fresh air. It's a suggestive location. Because there's so many things around about you which can remind you of God and can remind you of His words. That you'd need not just an evening, but you'd need probably a whole year. And the Lord frequently tells us in His words to consider certain things. For instance, if you look at the book of Job in the chapter 37. The book of Job, chapter 37. The verse 14. It says, "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Consider. Take time to think upon. Meditate if you want to use those things. What on? The wondrous works of God. And when you're out in the field, what do you see? You see the wondrous works of God. The wondrous works of His creation. If it's of an evening and you look up and you see the stars in the sky, you can think of the mighty power of God who put every star in its set place in the sky. When you look up and you see during the day the sun shining, you can think of how the Lord put it there and set the earth in motion so that in 24 hours each part of the earth gets that sunshine. We're told in the scriptures, in the Psalm 19, to consider the things of God. In the Psalm 19, the verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." And as you read through that psalm, you discover that the Lord has set His creation there that we might consider Him, that we might think upon Him. What better place than going out into the field to think of the God? We're told to consider the birds. We can take, for instance, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, where He says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." He says, "Behold, look upon. Set your eyes upon the fowls of the earth, the birds of the earth. Look upon them. Consider how they're fed. Consider how your heavenly Father feeds them and looks after them." A little later on, verse 28 of Matthew 6, it says, "Consider, or behold, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." In other words, the Lord is saying, look at the flowers. Look at the variety of colors. Look at the variety of shapes. Look at how they adorn the grass of the field. And not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like any of the flowers. Yet I've done it for the flowers. I've done it for the flowers. In Job chapter 41, we have the brute beasts because we're told, behold now, behemoth. Behemoth. We're told to go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider its ways. And we can learn lessons from the creatures. We can learn lessons from the flowers. We can learn lessons from the birds of the air. God says, go out into the field. And as you go out into the field, you'll consider me. Take the ant for a moment. The ant is one of the most insignificant, the most small of all the creatures that could be. And yet man can learn great lessons. Why? Because the ant in the harvest time prepares its meat, gets ready for the winter. The ant is wise. For when it has opportunity, it makes the preparation that it can make in that day of opportunity for the day of hardship. And could I say to those of you who are out of Christ, that's a lesson you need to learn. Because there is a winter of God's wrath which is coming. The judgment of God is upon your soul. But at this time, you're in a harvest time. And there is preparation and provision. Be wise like the ant. Make preparation for your soul before the winter of judgment comes. Even when you think of young people. You know, I know young people in this day and age, and you can only describe them as dropouts. Well, I suppose the drop-ins too. They drop into their bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And they sort of drop out of their beds about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they go out with their friends and they drop into their beds again. And the whole process goes on. And they're not doing anything. They have no intention of work. They have no intention of finding a job. No intention of trying to do anything. And yet, whilst they've got health and strength, that's the time that they should be making preparation for when they're older. For the day will come when they'll not be able to work. The day will come when they'll not be able to make a living. The day will come when they'll not be able to do those things which they're neglecting now. And all they need to do is go to the ant and see the hard worker that the ant is. The ant works hard. You see, there's many lessons. We can see when we look at the variety of creatures, all the different things that God has done. I was speaking to the youth council outreach workers there last year. We were down in Newcastle and I was asked to speak about door-to-door work on the mainland. And I said, one of the great subjects that you can bring up with people in this day and age is that of creation. And I told them an interesting thing about the giraffe. The giraffe is the only mammal that doesn't have a voice box. Well, where would you put it on that long neck anyway? But it doesn't have a voice box. But the giraffe is an interesting creature in that it has a very large heart. And it's needed because it has to pump the blood against the laws of gravity up that long neck to the giraffe's brain. But the giraffe has a problem. You see, that giraffe, when it wants a drink, it has to spread its legs and bend its neck. But you imagine that blood is pumping all the way to its brain, and suddenly the giraffe, it puts its head down, well, the blood's going to blow its brains out. Except that when it was created, it didn't evolve this way, because let's just run the theory through. The first giraffe that had a long neck and bent its neck, it died. So how did it pass on the information to the next one that it was going to die? And how did it pass on any information to say, well, hold on, you better not do this because as soon as I do this, I'm going to die. You're going to have to think of something different. And even if it had done that, how could it pass it on to its offspring because it was going to die before it had the offspring? Well, when the giraffe bent its neck, it had a problem. And the problem was that the blood which was being pumped up to that neck against the laws of gravity suddenly was running downhill. But it was created so that when it bent its neck, there was a cut-off supply to its brain. And behind its brain, there's a wee sponge. And so by the time its neck goes fully down, there's just enough going into that sponge to keep its brain functioning. And you look at the creation and you consider the creation and you'll discover that God is a mighty God and He's a wonderful God. And He created all things. And if God is the Creator, then He is the Creator of men. And if God is the Creator of men, then He is the lawgiver to men. And we need to live by His laws. We are accountable unto Him. We can't do as we please. And we can't live as we like. We're accountable unto God. Well, there's many other creatures we could look at, but now is not the time. But the important thing is this. You go out into the creation and you will find that there's many wonderful things. There was a man one day and he was in a field over in one of the American countries. And this farmer, he said to him, "What are you doing in my field?" He says, "I'm counting the stripes on your watermelons." He says, "You're doing what?" He says, "I'm counting the stripes on your watermelons. Did you ever notice that no matter how big the watermelon is, when they're all a certain type, they have the same number of stripes?" See, God is a God of order. God is a God of order. And people tell us there's a big bang, you know. Well, we've lived in Northern Ireland for many, many years, and whenever there was a big bang, there was always chaos. There was never order. And yet we have order. We have order. God's the God of creation. And when you go out into the creation, you're getting closer, as it were, to God. And there you can think of Him. I must move on. And very briefly, let me just give you this last thought. There was the revelation in this engagement. In chapter 24, verse 63 and 64, it says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel." He was there meditating at eventide, and as he was there, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw something. He saw the train of camels coming with his father's servant, with Rebekah, the woman that was to be his wife. It was when he was in the place of meditation in the field that God showed to him His provision for the need of his life and showed to him the purpose and the path of his life in the future. Friend, if you want to know what God's plan is for you, if you want to know the purpose of God that He has for your life as a child of God, if you want to know the provision of the Lord for today and the days to come, then you need to get to that place where you're alone with God. Because it's only when you're alone with God that He will reveal to you His provision, that He will reveal to you the way that He wants you to take. And as Isaac meditated, he was there in that place where he was close to the Lord. And as he was close to the Lord showed him His provision for his life, and the purpose and the path which he had to take. Do you know the way that God wants you to go? Do you know the will of God for your life? Do you know what it is that the Lord would have you to do? If not, then you need to get alone with God, because God has a will which is perfect for each and every one who has trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ. Get alone with God. Spend time with the Lord. And you'll have that way revealed unto you. But you do so for His name's sake. Amen. Let's go.